Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our April 2020 monthly facilitator call. This is Rich and Barbara Meese coming to you in unprecedented times, as we all know, and we are so delighted to be together as a body of believers today. I was reminded this morning in my quiet time that our trust is in Christ, the solid rock. That hymn was working its way through my mind this morning. But we have a wonderful call for you today. Jay Vineyard, in a moment, will lead off with devotions. Then Phyllis, our president, has a message for us. And we'd like to share at the end of the call some opportunities for us to maybe meet more frequently online. And we're going to be sharing some thoughts with you as some Q&A on that as well. So just a reminder, please, if you would hit *6 to mute. That would help keep the noise down for all of us. And Barbara's going to go ahead and introduce Jay.
Well, we're just delighted to have Jay Vineyard providing our devotion this morning. Jay has been with Lead Like Jesus a long time. He is the associate pastor at Dogwood Church right out of Atlanta. And he comes to us with just a rich and wonderful devotion this morning. So we're delighted that he's going to be able to start our call and then open us in prayer. So, Jay, thank you for being with us this morning, and we're going to turn the call over to you.
Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know on your end if you have a clear, can hear me clearly. On our end, it's kind of jarbled a little bit, but we'll make do. Happy Sequester at Home Eve from Georgia, because starting tomorrow, Georgia is shutting down. We can't move and do anything. So it's a new day for us. Now, in my devotion today, I want to start by asking you a question. How was it that a tiny, obscure Messianic movement on the edge of the Roman Empire dislodged classical paganism and became the dominant faith in the Western civilization in about 300 years. Now, think about that, and then let's go back. I'm going to answer the question this minute, but let's go back to what we're currently facing. So we all know the coronavirus has introduced a whole new level of challenges in life. It has touched every fabric of society. As we listen to people here, the response typically is fear. It's withdrawal, it's angst, it's isolation. As one person said to me, this feels so hopeless. And we understand why. You know, look at what's happened globally. A third of Americans are probably going to be out of work. They're anticipating maybe about 200,000 cases of the COVID-19. Stress is high. It is a pretty tough civilization, and actually, you know, for most of us, this is unprecedented. We have never seen anything quite like this in our lifetime, but the church has. In fact, in asking the earlier question, it was actually in times like this that the church stood the brightest. And actually, it was a platform for the growth of Christianity. Dr. Rodney Stark wrote a magnificent book some years ago titled The Rise of Christianity. And he's a sociologist, and he was looking at the sociological factors that will help us and inform us how we as a church, as Christians, should respond to this epidemic. And so, when Dr. Stark began his research, he said in 90 AD, there are 1,000 people who identify themselves as Christians, or you might say 0.00017% of the population. By 350 AD, there are over almost 34 million people who identify themselves as Christ followers, or well over half the population out of that time. That's remarkable. Well, what was it that led the church to have this type of growth? Well, there are a number of things that Dr. Stark identified, but one of the significant ones was how the church responded during epidemics, pandemics. We know through history that in 165, a devastating pandemic swept the Roman Empire. A lot of us think that it was smallpox. where almost they think about a third of the population died. And then another century later, another epidemic occurred that was wiped out civilizations. When these epidemics occurred, how did the church respond? In fact, historians suggest that there was a dramatic difference in how the pagan leaders responded versus the Christians. The epidemics overwhelmed the comforting and explanation capacities of pagans. But Christians, when you look at Christians, they offer something different. They were hopeful. They had an enthusiastic image of the future. Because of the core values of love and charity that translated into social service and community solidarity, the Christians coped better and actually were able to minister significantly to the communities. So when the epidemic hit a city, it was known that the priests, civil authorities, and the wealthiest families got out of town. They fled, which compounded disorder and suffering. It was the Christians who responded differently. They stayed and served the dying. The teaching of their faith made life meaningful, even in the moments of death. You think about how they responded. Many of the Christians actually served and gave their lives. They also died of some of these pandemic issues, and they often served the very people who were their persecutors. So when people saw the church moving hopeful, joyfully, enthusiastically, they said, whatever it is that Christians possess, their faith in the sovereign God, that's what I need in my life. Now, let's look at how we're responding today. As you're in your conversations, as you're looking at this epidemic, this pandemic, how are you responding? Does it reflect well of the hope that we have in Christ? And so what I encourage you to do is follow the example of Martin Luther. Whenever a pandemic hit the city of Wittenberg, Martin Luther wouldn't leave. But he also said, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to summarize his statements into Southern English. So I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to expose myself unneeded. He said, I'm going to stay in my house. I'm going to open the windows. I'm going to get fresh air. I'm going to fumigate. But I will not abandon people or my place. Remarkable. So how can you respond? Always with hope. And so as you're going through the store, instead of having that panic look, what should you have? Man, you ought to be smiling. You ought to be hopeful in every engagement. Smile, engage people. Whenever there's somebody that's got food, what should we do? We take food. I tell you a remarkable story of a couple of our Dogwood members. There's a guy in our community that's dying of brain cancer. He has a family. Young kids. He had nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do with the church. But our members are taking food to their family. They're getting his prescriptions and taking it to them. Guys, this man, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior not long ago. That's the act of Christians as they respond to this need. And then we hold true to what the Bible teaches. You know, how can we do that? Well, the Lord is my stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalm 99. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you and God, whose word I praise, and God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Let's hold true to these words. And let's respond appropriately in this time of unparalleled challenges. And here's what I think. If the church responds, if we move well, appropriately, with wisdom, I think that this is, the church was made for a time just like this. I'm going to pray for you. So, Father, thank you for the people that are on this call. We're scattered all over the country, but we have some things in common. Number one, we all claim you as our Lord and Savior. That holds our hearts together. But then we've committed to lead in a certain way. We've committed to be influenced by your leadership, that we're leading like you. And we thank you for this opportunity in time of crisis. It's going to stretch us. It's going to challenge us. We're going to struggle with dark thoughts of depression and isolation. But in that moment, I pray that you'll reveal to us who you are. And, Lord, show us how we can serve others in this time of crisis so that you, Lord, will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.
Jay, what a wonderfully challenging and encouraging message. Thank you so much. Amen to everything you said. We are experiencing a bit of crackling and noise again. Just a reminder, if anyone is not on mute, thank you for hitting star 6. That would be helpful, and hopefully this will resolve itself. But Jay, thank you again for a wonderful message. Well, like all of you in our ministry, we are talking and communicating and praying and thinking about how does God want us to respond. And we felt that there was no better person to bring that message of hope this morning than our own dear president. And so I know Phyllis has been so busy with board calls and staff calls and planning. But Phyllis, we are so delighted that you would take this time and address all of us and bring us a message of hope.
Well, thank you so much, Rich. You know, it's such a blessing to always be on this call, so I don't even ever want to miss. So I'm glad to be here today. And the verse that I'm looking at is right in line with what Jay just told us. What a great message, Jay. This is from Psalm 33. It says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." And so, you know, as I've been thinking about our message of lead like Jesus and how we do respond to leading in this time. And so I wish we were all around the table and I could see your faces and I could just hear, what do you need this morning? What are your concerns this morning? But I can't do that today, but I hope we can do that at another point. And so I've just been thinking about, you know, we've got to go back to basics. And this is something that I keep looking at in Lead Like Jesus. I actually went through our book even last night and started looking again and thinking about the basics in the book to Lead Like Jesus. And it was my father that really taught me about basics. And my father, I may have told you, he was just a great teacher, and his method was repetition. He said the same thing over and over again. And those kinds of things were, your word is your bond, always clean up your own mess, remember where you came from, remember who you are, always tell the truth and you'll never have to remember what you said. You know, all of those things, and your mom and dad might have said those things too. My father repeated those things over and over again. And sometimes when life is really hard, we go back to what we already know. And so I've been thinking about what we teach and what you've been teaching all these years. And the first thing when we think about the heart in these days, what is in the heart determines what we do. Our hearts are the source of motivation. So how we respond in these days is still in our heart. And the most persistent barrier that we continue to see to leading like Jesus is a heart that's motivated by self-interest. So in these days when people are fearful, when people are set apart, and everything is uncertain. I don't think anyone has seen, other than the early church, not in our time, a time like this, where actually things change moment by moment. We think we know, okay, this is the plan, and then the plan changes, and it continues to change. And so we're in this fluid situation that just keeps changing day by day. But what we know is that our God doesn't change. So we have to go back to understanding what's in our heart. And we talk about edging God out. The basic of that is where it comes from. In our heart, are we putting something in God's place? Are we holding on to a power or position or something in this time that now is just gone? Are we trying to do something that maybe is not what God would have us do, but it was something that we held so tightly? So putting something in God's place or trusting in something other than God. Oh my goodness, what we're seeing now. People that had great wealth are losing it. I had a gentleman tell me that he had never lost money in his business in his entire 31-year career. And in these past few days, he had lost millions and millions of dollars. If trust had been in that, he would have been in really bad shape, wouldn't he? If that had been his source of security and self-worth, that was going to be a problem for him. So now we're seeing, where is your security and self-worth? And then valuing others as your primary audience or other things as your primary audience. And so all of the things that we've asked, the questions that we have asked people, we now have to ask ourselves, where is our heart? What is the source of our motivation in these days? What does it look like to lead like Jesus in our hearts? And we know if we get those things that I just mentioned out of order, that the results are pride and fear. And what are we seeing most of right now? It would be fear. And in these days, people are fearful of what they can have, what they can hold on to, how much they can hoard, all of those things. And there's this amazing passage, I love it, in Mark 4, and you will remember it. The disciples were in a boat, and the storm came up, and it says a furious squall, but the word used in that is seismos, and this was not just a little storm. The waves were breaking over the boat, and they were shaking, and they were fearful, and they woke up Jesus, and of course, he did what he does. He got up, and he rebuked the wind, and he said, "You be quiet, be still." But then he asked the disciples a question, and it's a question that's been addressed again and again in Scripture. He said, "Why are you so afraid?" And then he asked, "Do you still have no faith?" And one thing that fascinates me about Jesus is he always asks questions. You know, do you want to be healed? Who touched me? Do you believe? Who do you say I am? All those questions he was always asking. Not that he didn't know the answers, but he wanted people to affirm, this is my problem. He wanted us to have self-knowledge around that. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And these disciples knew Jesus. They'd been with him. They had seen miracles. And yet, they were afraid in this time. And we know that fear is not a bad thing. It can let us know, alerts us when we're in danger. And we know that the disciples had a storm, and so they were truly afraid of the storm. I think I would have been afraid in a boat in a storm like that. But here, what Scripture constantly says to us, if we partner with that fear, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. And when I believe when Scripture is saying, don't fear, don't be afraid, it doesn't mean you go handle this, you just stop feeling that way. No, God is saying that within our reach is the grace to have victory over fear. It's his grace that empowers us to do what we couldn't do alone. And so I just think about, when I think about how fearful I'm hearing that people are, and even when I'm hearing all this, and you know, I think we got down to about four rolls of toilet paper. I was thinking, well, you know, people did hoard toilet paper. Maybe they weren't so silly. There's something to be worried about. But that it's those kind of things, the things that I won't have enough, the things that I may need more. What if this happens? What if that happens? And God reminds us, no, no. We have this connection that constantly said he's within our reach and his spirit can lead and guide us. I love this passage in Isaiah 51:12. It says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal man, the sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction. I think the whole translation of that says, God says, I'm the one who comforts you. Did you forget how big I am? And in that fear that we can come back to him, and as we know and we have taught, fear separates us from God, it separates us from others, and it even separates us from ourselves. We know that. So as we go back to basic, that's a thing that we know. And then we think in our being habits, we think immediately about accepting and abiding in God's love. Oh my goodness, what a time to do that, to know whose you are and who you are and what God says about you and who you are in this situation. This is the time to go back and remember and be in prayer and be in those supportive relationships and plan times. People are at home. You may have more time now than you've had in a while. You can have times of solitude. And we go back to the Word of God. We've been saying this all this time. Go back to basics. And in the head, we've talked about how our heart's been transformed and our head's been informed. What's the vision? What's the implementation of what your life looks like today? What does it look like today? And we know that when our heart is so transformed that we're not prideful, we're not fearful, we have put God in his right place, we're trusting in him more than any other thing, and we're valuing him as our audience more than pleasing anyone else, that pride and fear won't be what we have. We will have humility and God-found confidence. And so when we get to our thinking, we know that all of that's been transformed, and we look at the vision God has for us today in these moments, because we don't have to think about us anymore. Now our focus is on others. What does it look like to really serve? What's the vision of my life in this day? What can I help? What can I do to help those around me, as Jay was just talking about? And then in the hands, you know what I've been thinking is that every single leader is a novice in this pandemic. None of us have had experiences like this. What to do? What to figure out? We don't even know what we don't know. We know nothing about what will change, maybe forever. And so when we think about that, I think we have to go back. We don't have anybody telling us go here or go there at this time. We have people who have great ideas. But what we do know is what we get from Scripture. What we do know is what God has been teaching us all of these years. Go back to basics. Go back to what we know. God has a plan. God will redeem every situation for his glory and our good. We know that. What we know is that he loves us unconditionally. What we know is that he will never leave us. And all of these things that we know are what we have to go back to and how we use that in how we lead others. And so as novice leaders in these days, we have to go back to what we know. And then we think about the doing habits. Oh my goodness, I was thinking about the need for encouragement. You know, our doing habits, it's that foundation of obeying and expressing God's love. And as Jay just talked about in that beautiful devotion, the people that were serving in the midst of terrible circumstances, people recognized They were doing this out of their love for God. And so here we are presented with this incredible opportunity to do just that. And so we can practice grace. I don't know about you, but if you've been in grocery store lately, we need grace when we go in. We need to be offering. We need to be dispensers of grace and encouragement and hope and forgiveness even in the midst of these days. People are rattled. And as Jay said, just a smile would be an important thing to offer. But we can offer, you know, if people have less than you do in your buggy, maybe you, would you like to go first? You have just a few things. Maybe we offer to do something for someone, and please stay 6 feet apart. I'm saying keep all the things that you know you should do for health and for everybody else's health. But there are many things we can do to show kindness. There are people alone right now who need a phone call desperately, just encouragement, because they are by themselves in a small apartment and they need to hear a voice or have a Zoom call or a Skype call or FaceTime just to be encouraged about these days. And so we are being able to practice these things right now. So when I started thinking about our message of leading like Jesus and what God has shown us through all of this content and material that's been developed and that you've been teaching, I thought, oh my goodness, we have to go back to basics. We have to go back and say, this is more true now than ever. This is so important in these days. Go back, help people see it, help people remember. You know, one of the things that my dad did so well was help me remember who I was. And because he said that all the time, I am still doing that. In the hardest days, I go back and I remember who I am, who God says I am. Not who the world says I am, but who God says I am. And it was because that was those teachable moments that my dad would have with me all of the time. When my dad would come home from work, he would, I would hear his car. I would run to get to him because he had to take his shoes off before he came in because he had on work boots. And I would sit on the steps as he took off his work boots and he would pass his lunchbox to me. And I would go through the lunchbox because, unbelievably, there was always something that was left for me, a cookie or a Twinkie or something. And as my daddy took off his boots, I would eat my surprise and we would talk. And in those days, what I learned was this whole idea of safety with my father. I always felt safe with my dad. And Scripture tells us that God is our hiding place, that God is our source and protects us in a time of trouble. I always felt loved by my dad. I felt that there was nothing that could happen that my father, nothing I could do that he wouldn't love me. And so, and Scripture tells us that that's exactly how the love is. We've been rooted and established in love. And my father gave me value. I was valuable to him. And Scripture tells us we're the apple of God's eye. And forgiveness, I always had forgiveness from my dad. And so when I think about what I learned in those days, even then, I got instruction from him, even though it was the same thing over and over again. And Scripture says that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's where we have to turn. That's back to basics. And the other thing, I learned perspective. My father helped define perspective for me. Remember where you come from. Remember who you are. And I'm saying that today, that is kind of back to basics for us, for all of us. Go back. Remember what you have learned. Remember what God has been teaching you all these years with learning to lead like Jesus and through Scripture and your relationships and community that you've had. And oh my goodness, the message is so important for today, more important than any time that I have lived so far. This message is critical. And so let's share it. Let's have Zoom calls. Let's have phone calls. Let's have messages to people that constantly give out the message, because it's the message of the day. And I'm in agreement with Jay. If we can behave as people who lead like Jesus in these days, we will have an impact like we've never had before, because people will not only hear the message, they will see the message. And that's my prayer. Would you pray with me right now? Father, I pray right now, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth and out of our mouths will fearlessly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, not only in what we say, Father, but in what we do. Father, we want to be so much more like Jesus. We fall so short in so many ways, Lord, in responses that are too quick and words that come out wrong, all of those things. But, Father, we are grateful that you continue to teach us, you continue to love us. And, Father, you are our shield. You are our strong tower and our hiding place. And, Father, because of that, we are strong in you. And so, Father, I thank you so much for the message that you've continued to teach us and the way, Lord, that you have showed us your path. Oh, God, would you help us to live that message in this day? Be true to it, Lord, and be true to you, Father. You are the message. We just pray, Father, that in everyone on this call, that there's protection, Lord. Please protect. That there's blessing, Father, that there is hope, Lord, and that truly, Father, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Let us stay focused on Jesus, and then, Father, on others. We ask these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Phyllis, thank you again. Just to be grounded in what we have taught for so many years, and what our message is, and of course our message is Jesus, and you brought a wonderful reminder of that to us. Normally, as you know, all of you on the phone, we would open this up for comments and questions. We would like to just share a few thoughts with you and have a couple of guest presenters share a few thoughts with you. And then we would like to open the line. I'm sure many would like to express a thought or ask a question. But as we've deliberated and prayed as a staff, we felt that so much of the material that has already been developed would be so fitting and proper for a time like this. So we would like to introduce several ideas. You may have seen our email from this morning that was called Let's Stay in Touch, and it outlined a number of different options for people to engage with our Lead Like Jesus material. So in a moment, I'm going to introduce Jim Besh, who's going to share how he is soon to be leading a Zoom class with our six-week Bible study. We're also going to suggest that perhaps you could do that, or if initially you'd like to be involved in a Bible study group, we're going to give you some options for doing that. And then we're going to have Megan Pacheco, our Chief Learning Officer, talk about some of our other online opportunities. I think the unique thing about 2020 is we now have multiple ways of reaching people that we never had before the 21st century. I'm sure God is using that to his glory, and we wanted to introduce that to you. So we want you to think about ways to engage with people online, and perhaps one of our best and easiest, I'm sure many of you already are involved in virtual Bible studies or virtual worship services during this time. We thought that wouldn't this be a wonderful time to have people lead our six-week Lead Like Jesus Revisited Bible study for groups in their church, community, family, literally across the world. You can reach out to people anywhere and connect virtually. And the six-week Bible study really lends itself to that. Jim Besh is one of our master trainers from Florida. Jim is actually working with a group here on the West Coast and is going to be leading that study. And Jim, if you just take a couple of minutes and outline what you're planning to do, how the class will unfold, what technology you're going to use, we would be grateful. Jim Bash.
Thank you, Rich. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Just a touch of a backstory to make sure we give God credit and glory for this. I was approached. Some of you may know I do a lot of my ministry. God's called me through to do ministry through Methodist Men since I began the journey, and Lead Like Jesus has become a huge part of that. And have some men in the West Coast that are trying to rebuild a more intentional men's ministry through the church while it still exists. Under the United Methodist Cross in Flames. And so rather than slow that up, of course, their first opinion, they've been hearing about the encounters that I have done in most places except the West. So they contacted me, and I got with Rich and Barbara. I didn't feel comfortable at all having a conversation with them about the encounter being done online, because they're all over the place. There's one guy in Alaska and some more in Arizona and everywhere in between. So they were, the inquiry was, could you do an encounter like you've done in other places, but do it virtual and online? And that really wasn't a discussion, but I wanted some reinforcement. So I called Barbara and or Rich, and I'll give Barbara, she's the one that Christ planted that seed through Barbara to say, you know what, I agree with you, the encounter won't work, but have you thought about the 6-week study guide? And in all transparency that I try to live my life in right now, at that point, I had not. So from there is when I got back with my guys and spoke to them. And I think what drives this is the calling. And I know our mission here at Lead Like Jesus to glorify God by inspiring and equipping people to lead like Jesus. That purpose hasn't changed. It looks a little different. So I think this is an opportunity. And what we're looking at doing is doing the 7-week study with the intro week one and then the 6 weeks. I am going to continue, and I know Rich kind of gave me some more information. I have been, since I've been doing encounters for a while, I have two pieces of material that they use in the encounter, not by choice, is the workbook and the revisited, what I call the textbook. That I have just made that part of the material, and the reason being comes back to the purpose. My calling is not to do encounters. My calling is to help people learn how to lead like Jesus. So that being said, I always have the textbook involved. If they can read it ahead of time, if not, it's at least a reference piece. So right now, the guys out west, we finished our call yesterday. I will begin a 7-week study. The first session will be April 22nd. We will have a gentleman from Alaska, two from Arizona, and we're hoping to no more than 10. We're looking at an 8 to 10 person group because I do want it to be interactive. I will use the leader's guide that comes along with the guide, but I do want it to be interactive. And so we're gonna do it for a 90-minute session. Gonna do it for the 7 weeks, 8 to 10 people at the most. And they will order the guides. I think they can still order it online as the tandem of the revisited book and the study guide. I'll relook that again. But this thing is gonna take some legs. Rich and Barbara did some awesome work for me. The guy that but again, by God's work, it's just amazing. You know, I've got this thing on my desk that says this is a Yiddish proverb, man plans, God laughs. So as God continues to build this plan through this gentleman to me, and it comes along that he is actually in the same area that Rich and Barbara are in. So they were an awesome reinforcement to what we're doing. So Rich, just from a high level, we are going to begin it with our first one. We're going to seek to move from that into even more. They're putting together their core level of leadership. They're trying to get 8 or 10 guys, which at one point they should have probably close to 300 within that geography. So we'll start with that 8 to 10 and see if we can't work our way down from that. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
Thank you, Jim, so much, and we'll open that up for questions. questions in a few minutes. Before we do that, we'd love to hear from Megan Pacheco, who is our Chief Learning Officer. Megan is a great writer and developer of materials, and the great news is she's a young person who really understands technology. So, Megan, tell the group some other options that they have for Lead Like Jesus material.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Yeah, so just quickly wanted to let you know that there's a lot of resources we've been developing. Actually, for the last year, they're completely online, and you can access them from your laptop, tablet, from your mobile phone. You can share them with anyone. The best one I would recommend is, of course, our new Leadership Academy. In our email today, you received the link to a sample of our Leadership Academy. If you're just looking for a quick way to check it out, you can simply go to leadlikejesus.com/academy, and you will see a great description of the types of resources, online resources we have there. But and you can actually watch some sample videos, download sample handouts. Everything is digital there. You can find anything from literally 2 to 3 minutes teaching videos from Phil, Ken, Phyllis, Rick Warren, Patrick Lencioni, a lot of other leadership experts, to 3 to 4 session online courses with downloadable handouts. You can really use this resource any way you want for your personal use. You could watch the quick videos with your family at night, use the handouts and the questions in the handouts as a family devotional time, family personal growth time. So Leadership Academy is a really great resource for you. If you guys have younger people in your family, maybe teenagers, college-age students, young adults, Igniting Influence would be a wonderful resource, which, again, has 12 sessions. Each of the sessions has about a 3-minute video as well as discussion around the video. It's a wonderful resource for people who are in that college age, millennial age group. It's all online. So between Leadership Academy and Igniting Influence, I think you can really get a great solid taste of online content from Lead Like Jesus. And again, it's very easy to use, very easy to watch, very easy to engage with from any of your mobile devices. So one more URL I'm going to give you. If you go to leadlikejesus.com and go to organizations, you will find online training under the organizations tab. Under online training, you will actually get a list of a lot of our online tools that will get you directly to whatever tool you would like to use. So if you go to leadlikejesus.com and go to organizations, just click on the online training tab, and it'll take you wherever you need to go.
Thank you, Megan. Just a quick request again. Somebody's washing dishes in the background. We'd love it if you'd hit *6. Two more quick resources, and then Barbara's going to tell you all how you can get involved, and we'll open it up for questions. We also have a wonderful book called Lead Like Jesus for Families, for those of you looking for something to work with, primarily with your spouse, but certainly it involves the children. Great resource. And also, of course, our biblical disc. Many of you are doing perhaps online coaching, those kinds of things, certainly counseling during these troubled times, and the disc resource, the biblical disc, is a great resource for that as well. And by the way, forgive me, I didn't mention that we are happy to have our biblical disc practitioners join us on this call today. So delighted to have many of you on board as well. Here's some ways you can get involved.
So we started thinking about how could we really all engage together as a community, as Lead Like Jesus facilitators and practitioners? And we thought, why don't we start? Let's start a virtual Bible study with our own community, and then ask everybody then to model this and go out into your communities, into your spheres of influences, your families, your friends, your colleagues. So what we're going to do is we've asked all of our master trainers to host a virtual Bible study. And you are going to be getting an email shortly with some of the details about how you can sign up for that. So each of the master trainers that will be involved in this opportunity will select a day of the week and a time, and that those sessions will go for 7 weeks. There'll be an introductory session, and then there will be the 6-week Lead Like Jesus Revisited Bible Study. So if you would like to participate in this, you'll need to get that Bible study, and your spouse or a friend is welcome to join this with you. It's all going to be done virtually, and likely most of our master trainers will use a Zoom platform. Some of them may choose to do others, but this could be likely the most number one choice. So once you get that email, you will get an email address or a phone number of our master trainers. You can look through the times and the day that work for you, and then you'll call or email them and sign up. Say, I'm on board and I want to be in your session. And then that master trainer will give you all the details about how that you'll be engaged in that Bible study. If by chance that session is full, you'll just have to look at another session and sign up for another one. We hope you will be engaged and stay engaged in that 7-week process. And then once you've completed that, or as you're coming to an end of that Bible study with our master trainer, start thinking about who you're going to do a Bible study with. Who's out there that you can engage, and you can follow that same model. Pick a time of the day, pick a day of the week. Let your folks know that you're going to do this over 7 weeks and have them sign up with you. So there's multiple options that you can use to do a virtual Bible studies. There's Zoom, there's a free conference call, there's Skype, there's FaceTime, and we'll be sending out a couple of articles after this call with some options for you, and you can investigate those to determine what's going to work best for you. So we're so excited about this. Rich and I are going to host one of the sessions and love to have you join us or any of our master trainers in this. And we just believe it'll be a great time for us to be in the Word, for us to be in community, and for continuing our journey of leading and living and loving like Jesus.
So if you go to our resource tab on our website and then scroll down under free resources, there is a facilitator guide that is free. It's on our website for the 6-week Bible study. We have written just a little 2-page addendum for how to do it virtually that we will be getting out to anyone who's interested. And again, as Barbara said, we'd love to have you join us in this endeavor. We're so delighted you've joined us, and we have 7 or 8 minutes. And by the way, we're not in a hurry, so we'll stay on. We'd love to open this up for comments, questions, thoughts about Jay or Phyllis's messages. Let's spend some time in community together. So *6 will get you off mute. Who'd like to begin?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, hi, this is Daryl from Winnipeg, Canada, and appreciate this call. I just have a quick question, and maybe it's a real basic question, but working with a lot of businesses in the corporate world and corporate leaders, what advice would you have as far as integrating faith into those discussions? And the reason I ask, I think there's an openness, you know, in this time of crisis to talking about, you know, involving faith, but any words of wisdom that you would give, especially in a context where it may be quite a secular environment. Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Daryl. Phyllis, Jay, Bill.
Yes. Daryl, thank you so much for that question. We did a session for a great corporation, Accenture, a few weeks ago, and it was an online and company-wide, and someone asked a similar question, and they had asked me to teach on the heart, head, hands, and habits, And I did. And one of the people said, you know, I don't even, how do I say heart? She said, I love this, but how am I going to do that? And I said, well, language is so important. So maybe when you're talking to people about their actions, that you, instead of saying, you know, talking about heart, maybe you would use the word, what's your intention and motivation in leading? But I think when I was in the corporate world, one of the greatest ways that I engaged faith was not only in certain language, but was when people are in need to just say, may I pray for you? May I pray for you about this? Especially what I'm hearing is there to, from people is, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm so afraid. I'm worried about my family. And so to offer prayer seems to be, that should be our first response. And so to ask people, may I pray for you? And let them go from there. You know, our role is to love and serve and bring Jesus into a conversation when the time is best. But the offer to love and serve them by praying for them, I think, is a good first step.
Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you, Daryl. Other questions or comments?
Thank you very much.
This is Karen. I wanted to echo what Phyllis just said. Many of you all know my Starbucks story, and I'm not going to tell it today, but how I started my Starbucks ministry was I offered to pray for the baristas. And when I started that and then started to follow up with them about what had happened in their situation, and then they were more open to my being able to have deeper conversations with them about it. So I just echo that so much, that prayer makes such a difference. Sometimes people are caught off guard by it, but sometimes people are just desperate, and these are desperate times. So I think that's such a great suggestion. Thanks, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Other comments or questions?
This is Phil. One thing I wanted to just say, what a joy it was to hear everything from Jay and all the way through how and what Phyllis said is that this is the time and this is the place and this is the season for Lead Like Jesus to show what we've been preparing for all of these years with content and so forth. That the world, and we use this in our book, is desperately in need of the best leadership model and the best leader possible. And that we have had that, and the joy of being able to share it in new ways is so exciting. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but some of the words that are co-opted in this situation are contagion, an infection. You know, that the way the early church worked was through contagion and infection, infecting the society with hope, infecting it with a model of service, and that we continue to have the great desire to bring this message, bring this thing, not through edicts or not through power, but through the person-to-person testimony of people who see something new that they hadn't seen before in the things that they forgot that they knew. And I just applaud all of us, all of you who have been doing this quietly, and that this is the time. And the business that was mentioned is, they said that true change only happens in community over time. And as we go through building these virtual communities, I think that's a key to it, that in each place or each sphere of influence, it's not geographical anymore, we can bring this message of hope, but that we're in this together. And just excited for that, and bless you all.
Thank you, Phil. It's so great to hear that continual message of coming back to what we know, and we've been teaching this and we know this, and we just have to get back to the basics. I recently was on a webinar with Patrick Lencioni, and he said the same thing. We need to get back to the basics, just reiterating the things that people might already know. Wash your hands, keep 6 feet apart, you know, and for us, our back to basics is being in the Word, keeping our trust in Jesus. And the second message that I heard from Patrick, I want to share with you, and it ties into what Phil said about we're novices. We don't know all the answers, and how good it is to be honest and open and vulnerable to the people who are under us and are looking to us for our leadership, that we show that we're in the same boat together and we're going to get through this together. And surely, surely, through the end of time, Jesus will be with us during this time. So I encourage you to be that person to all of those who come to you. I love the messages we heard this morning from Jay and Phyllis and Jim. Thanks what you're doing, leading the way with the virtual Bible study. Megan, how great that you have just provided and continue to work on giving us so many wonderful resources to help us be great leaders. And Phil, thank you. We always appreciate when you're with us on the calls and giving us some good thoughts to be thinking about.
So let me say a concluding prayer. And again, we're just going to hang on. We'd love to fellowship with anyone that wants to chat for a while. Heavenly Father, help us to be infected with hope. Help us to be contagious with hope as we are out and about, well, not much now, but as we perhaps communicate with people, phone, computer, all the different ways that we have today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity for the church to rise up for such a time as this. Lord, we are your body, and we just dedicate ourselves to you, and we ask that you use us in a powerful way to advance your kingdom. Thank you, God, for each person on this phone. Put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, and may we be your hands and feet as we go forward in this world. Thank you for being our solid rock, in whose name we pray, Jesus. Amen.